Please take your Bibles once again and turn to Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18, verses 1 to 8 will be our text for this morning as we look at another parable of the Lord. Dear congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, I have a question for you this morning, and it's contained in these three words. Do you pray? That's the way that J.C. Ryle begins his well-known book called A Call to Prayer. That's how I begin this morning. Do you pray? That's a question that no one else can answer but yourself. If you're in church or not, that's something that your minister knows. If you are at the table for devotions, that's something that your family knows. But whether you or not pray, that's something that only you and the Lord know. Praying is difficult, and it is hard to be consistent. A day goes by without prayer, and we can be discouraged. A week goes by, and we're tired. A month goes by, and we're in despair. You cannot maintain a walk with the Lord unless you pray. You cannot be in fellowship with the Lord unless you speak to your Father in heaven. In fact, we can go so far as to say from Scripture that you cannot be saved or call yourself a Christian unless you pray. You know, search the Scriptures and you'll see that everywhere, those who are called saints, they called on the Lord. They sought the Lord. They prayed to Him. From Genesis to Revelation. Now we might say, yes, but why pray? To devote time to prayer is a waste of time. What are we accomplishing? Someone might say. You just are wasting time talking to yourself. It's much better to do something concrete, something real. Better to get up and do something. But we're daily called to come to our Father. And you know, congregation, one of the most difficult parts of prayer is persevering. Continuing on with it. And yet Jesus did say, as we think of the Lord's Prayer, give us this day our daily bread. This is something that we're to pray each day. And moreover, Jesus taught the disciples to persist in prayer. We must continue in it because we need it. Now, it's hard to do it. It's hard to keep on praying. It's discouraging to pray for God's kingdom to come, for example, when so many in the world prefer sin over God or believe in other gods other than Jesus Christ. And on a personal level, we have brought requests to the Lord for years. And as far as we can tell, those prayers haven't been answered. But the Lord has a purpose. He has His purpose withholding an answer, not because of a lack of power or because He doesn't care, but for reasons that are hidden from us. And for these reasons, and because we're flesh, it can be hard to pray. And so in light of that, Jesus tells this parable that we're looking at this morning, so that we would not lose heart, but continue to pray. So hear this parable of the unjust judge, and we'll look at it with two points, with two questions. Number one, why are we to pray? And number two, how are we to pray? So first of all, why are we to pray? Jesus was speaking to His disciples at this point in the context in chapters 17, verse 22 and following. He had described a difficult period of time between His first and second coming. His disciples will look for the Son of Man, but they would not see Him. And during His absence, the disciples would be rejected and mocked for their faith, much like Noah was in the Old Testament and Lot. Some would be persecuted to the point of death. Others would face hardship. And Jesus, of course, knowing what it's like to be in human existence, because He Himself is flesh, He knew that it would be hard for them. And he encouraged his disciples. Will God hear us when we pray? Will we be vindicated if we find ourselves in the very same situation? Well, as you can see this morning, it is also a challenge as well as an encouragement to you to persevere in prayer, even when there seems to be no answers from the Lord. And that's the whole point of this parable. As Jesus says so clearly there in verse 1, that men always ought to pray and what? Not lose heart. We can become weary and despair. Most of us know this by experience. Who of us doesn't know what it's like to be weary and to lose heart? Let's be honest this morning. This is something that we all deal with. How many of us have had this happen? Many of us, I'm sure, were down in the dumps because we didn't pray. And what happens when we did pray? Well, when we brought our requests earnestly to the Lord, God was gracious. He helped us. He comforted us. He gave us what we needed to move forward. You prayed the next day and then the next and then the next. And you kept up a fairly good routine of that. But then it started to drop off. Your prayer habit started to fall apart. That's when it's hard. You see, that's what Jesus is getting at here. It's far easier to start a habit of prayer than to keep it. As Calvin says, we know how uncommon and difficult a virtue is persistence in prayer. That's for sure. We sure do. Jesus therefore encourages us to persevere in prayer by making a contrast between this unrighteous judge and our gracious Heavenly Father. There are two characters in the parable, the unjust judge and the persistent widow. The judge, he was anti-God and anti-people. He didn't fear God and he didn't have a regard for man. Now children, that means that this judge did whatever he pleased. He never thought to himself, what does God want me to do today? He would never woke up in the morning and said, what does the Lord have in store for me? Or what do people approve of or disapprove of? He had no sympathy for the oppressed. There were no feelings of tenderness. Particularly, there was no sympathy for the oppressed. And the next person in the parable is the widow. She is the proverbial needy and helpless person. And what's so precious about her is, you know, as the scriptures speak of, she was a widow before the Lord. And the Bible speaks tenderly of widows. And it speaks of those who do well to them, that they're blessed. And those who don't do well to them, to come under God's curse. But this widow in this parable had been deprived of justice. That's why she came to the judge. She had been wronged. And she was looking for justice. She was looking for some kind of legal protection. She needed to be defended against her enemy. But the judge refused to help her initially. Whether because of bribes or because of fear of her powerful opponent. Perhaps because he particularly didn't like weak women. Or just because he was lazy. We're not told. He was unwilling. There is no money in it for him, you might say. Indeed, she would cost him time and money. The fact of the matter is, he didn't care. He didn't fear God, nor did he respect others. So she came to him many times, so many times, that her persistence finally paid off. Eventually, the judge saw the widow's case, that it was just, though she was just a poor, helpless widow, but it was because of her constant persistence that he finally thought he would listen to her and grant her what she asked. The thing is, he got annoyed by her. She kept bothering him. Otherwise, or yeah, otherwise he says in verse 5, she will wear me out. In the original Greek, the word there for wear me out is literally strike. It's a metaphor that comes from the boxing world. It's the idea that someone is so upset with someone else that the other person is about to get a black eye. That's how this man felt. The judge was sick and tired of her, and at the point of being worn out, it's like every day that he went to the city gates to do his work for the day, that this lady showed up. And she came every day asking for justice. It's almost like he would have resented going to work if he did not avenge her, lest he become weary of her. And that's the lesson from this. The lesson is, always pray and do not lose heart. Jesus repeats that lesson in the closing of this parable in verses 6 to 8. Jesus says in verse 6, then the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said. Hear what the unjust judge said. He would be greatly mistaken if we would be greatly mistaken if we thought that Jesus was saying that this is what our Heavenly Father is like. On the contrary, in relationship between God as a loving and tender Father to His children, Jesus says, furthermore, and shall God not avenge His own who cry out day and night to Him, though He bears long with them? And the point is, if this widow could get justice from an uncaring and unrighteous judge, doesn't it follow that our loving, gracious Father will hear and answer His own children whom He has chosen as His elect? He has loved them with everlasting love, and therefore He will hear the supplications of those who continue to cry out to Him day and night. Verse 8 says, I tell you that He will avenge them speedily. Now that might seem hard to understand from our point of view because, you know, we pray and maybe things don't happen right away. But it's true according to Scripture. When we start comparing this passage to other portions of Scripture, we find that that is the case. For example, 2 Peter 3 verse 9 says, the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us. 1,000 years is like a day to the Lord, and a day like 1,000 years. But once the Lord's timetable is complete, the Lord will move very quickly. Believers who have not yet died, they're going to be changed in an instant, in a twinkling of an eye. The saints who are still on earth will be caught up. They'll be snatched up to be with the Lord in the clouds, to meet Him in the air. Earth and sky will flee from His presence. He's going to act justly. So you see that there is a contrast between the unrighteous judge of this parable and the love that God the Father has for His children who have received His rich promises in grace. And that then gives us the reason to pray. Why are we to pray and not lose heart? Because of who God is. Because of the depth of His love. However, we may wonder sometimes then why our prayers are not always answered immediately. If God loves us and cares for us, if He has the power to change us, why is there a delay? Well, it's not because of His lack of power or His lack of love. He may be delaying in order to teach us patience. He may be delaying to teach us patience and to give us character. So He may be developing and changing us by His Spirit. That could be one of the reasons. Another reason might be He may not answer us at once in order to increase our thanksgiving when He grants that request. He may delay something in our lives in order that when that blessing comes about, we'll be really thankful for it. So He may be stretching us so that we might all the more be thankful for what He has granted to us. And also there may be delays for reasons known only to Him and not to us. There may be reasons. There may be delays for reasons known only to Him, but not to us. God doesn't owe us an explanation for all the riddles of life. He calls us to trust in Him at all times, no matter what, because He cares for us. And it also needs to be said that God knows far better what is good for us than what we think we need. God knows far better what is good for us than we do. We're like children to our Father. Over and over again, a child asks for something from his parents, and some of those things that they ask for may hurt them. Dad, can I have the lighter? Mom, can I put this paper in the fire? And we say, no, you can't do that. And how do they respond? Well, they're sorely disappointed. And that's how it can be for us too. If a parent knows how to refuse things from his child, so the Lord knows what we need too. And we often find out when we take the long view of things, that had we received the things that we asked for, it actually would have been bad for us and not good for us. But the main thing is that we trust the Lord at all times. That's what Jesus is calling us to do, to have faith at all times. As verse 8 says, notice that closing sentence there, nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will He really find faith on the earth? Jesus is not speculating when He asks that question. He's not doubting that there will be faith. But the kind of faith He's challenging us to have is the kind of faith that is exercised by this widow. She was persistent. She did not lose heart. She persevered. Is that the kind of faith that you have, congregation? Is this expressed through your prayers? Because God isn't like the reluctant judge. He cares for us and will bring justice for you. He will answer you in His way and in His timing. So keep on praying and do not lose heart. Well, that brings us to a second thing that we see within this passage. How are we to pray? And there are a number of practical thoughts that come from this parable and from the rest of Scripture regarding our own prayers. The first lesson is pretty obvious, but it's very important. It's pray. Do you pray? Don't just say a fast prayer when you get up and a fast one when you go to bed and therefore think, you know, that you're done for the day. Don't just say a quick prayer at a meal and think you're devoted to regular prayer. No, our prayers have to be regular and disciplined. They have to be comprehensive and consistent. We need to take the time in the day for regular prayer. And what's the best way to do that? Well, you need to set aside a chunk of time every day to have your devotions. You know, probably the most frequent feedback that comes from home visits in the consistory room is, this person is struggling with devotions. This person is not praying enough. It's a common thing. And life is busy, no doubt. And there are many things that can consume our time. But if we have time to spend an hour in front of a TV, or 2 hours, or 5 hours, why don't we have time for the Lord? There's something wrong. We have to continue daily in prayer. Praying is not only here in church. It's not only out loud with our family members around the table, but it's privately as well. We're to be in this regular business in our lives. God is a God of order. You know, you think of the Old Testament. There were morning sacrifices and there were what? Evening sacrifices. Every day there were offerings to God. And in the same way, we are God's priests today as those who have been delivered. And we ought to make it our business each day out of the 24 hours to pray. In the same way, we might set aside time for eating and sleeping and working. So we need to set aside time for prayer. And you have to choose the time that works best for you. Of when to speak to God. But congregation, be sure to be doing it regularly. That's a regular part of your life. What kind of things can you pray for? Well, pray for victory over enemies of the gospel who mock and ridicule the message of Christ and the cross. Pray for victory over the tormentors of the faith, like in many places around the world. For example, in Africa, in Asia, in the Middle East. It can be difficult to be a Christian in places like colleges and in the workplace. Don't we know that? Pray for vindication. Pray for victory over your own flesh and the world. Pray that you would not be led into temptation. Couples, pray for your kids at night before you go to sleep. Seniors, remember to pray for the needs of others as you continue to do. Even if you can't get out and do anything to help them, you can pray. And what a blessing that is. You must keep on praying. Like the watchman of Isaiah's day, give the Lord no rest until righteousness is established. Isaiah 62. And so the first lesson is to pray. Pray regularly. Another way we're to pray is sincerely. We're to pray sincerely. The persistence in this parable shows sincerity. We need to be sincere in our prayers. Sometimes we pray for the right thing to ask because that's the right thing to do. In fact, sometimes we may be horribly surprised to find out that our prayers were literally answered. It was said of Augustine that when he was young, he would pray that way. When he was good, he wished he was bad. When he was bad, he wished he was good. He talks about how he would sometimes pray, "Oh God, make me pure. Make me pure. Make me holy." But then he would ask in a whisper, "But not yet." He was praying for something he did not really want, and he knew it. Our prayers have to be sincere. Luther once said that we are too vague in our prayers. It's not enough to say, "Oh God, forgive me of my sins." How have we sinned? What do we need to be forgiven of? What can we speak about to our Father specifically? We need to humbly come to Him in sincerity and with integrity. Another way we're to pray is confidently. We can pray confidently. Just think of the widow. Compare her situation to ours. She had no choice but to go to this unjust judge. But we don't go to an unjust judge. We go to our Father in heaven. She was a stranger to the judge, whereas we're no strangers. We're God's people through Christ. We're the saints. God hears the prayers of His elect. She also was just one person. One person. She was alone. One lonely voice coming to this stubborn, hard-nosed judge who didn't care a whip about her. But we're not like the poor widow, having nothing. We're not just one voice. We have many voices. We all pray to the same God in heaven. Now, it might seem like a small number in comparison to the academic world or the world of politics or the media. All these things have a powerful influence over others, and our voices seem small in comparison. However, we are many before the Lord. And we can be confident. Furthermore, the widow's judge was hostile. He didn't want to hear her. Our God is inviting. The widow's judge was unjust. But ours is what? Ours isn't unjust. He's righteous. The widow's judge was bothered by all those requests. But ours is pleased. He wants to hear. He desires it. As well, the widow's judge would hear her at certain times only. But our judge, he's willing to hear us at all times. Doesn't matter when. We can come whenever we want. And yet after all that, she got what she needed. If that was possible for her, to what she needed from a dishonest, greedy judge, how much more certain can we be that God will hear our cries and vindicate us and provide protection for us? That's why Jesus said, ask and keep on asking. Seek and keep on seeking. Knock and keep on knocking, and the door will be open to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Another way we are to pray is with perseverance. We're to pray with perseverance. You know, there's an old word in the English language that has basically dropped from our vocabulary. It's the word importune. It means to ask something pressingly, to beg, to beseech, to entreat. It's used that way in Luke chapter 11, the other parable that deals with this whole point of coming to the Lord again and again. The parable of the visitor by night who came to his friend. The Bible says because of his importunity, because of his persistence, he was heard. He kept knocking at the door. He knocked and he persisted until bread was given to him and to his family and guests. That's what we must be like, persisting in prayer. The Apostle Paul said, pray without ceasing. And we might think that's impossible to do. We've got work to do, children to take care of, bills to pay, houses and cars to maintain. How can we be praying without ceasing? But even here, in company or business on the streets, you can send your arrow prayers to the Lord. You know, we think of Nehemiah in the Old Testament when he was attacked by, you know, enemies from the outside, and we read these little short prayers that he offers to God, little arrow prayers to God. There's never a time wasted which is given to the Lord. As disciples of Christ, we're never the losers in the long run. The widow's life in this parable shows that those who persevere in prayer will be heard and blessed. So instead of cutting our prayers short because we're so busy, and instead of neglecting our own souls, we ought to persevere in our prayers, to continue in them. Well, there's two more. We're to pray earnestly. We're to pray earnestly. It is the effectual, fervent prayer that avails much. There ought to be a sincere, earnest cry to God. It's not only the lesson of this widow. It's a lesson taught in other parts of Scripture. You know, you think of Jacob wrestling with the angel at Penuel. And he pins him down in that wrestling, and he says, I will not let you go except you bless me. Now, it's not necessary for us to shout or scream or to be very loud in order to be heard, but it's important that we be fervent and warm and ask as if we are earnestly seeking the Lord. And last, we learn that we're to pray with faith. Or to pray with faith. We should endeavor to believe that our prayers are heard. And if we ask things according to God's will, we will be answered. That's what Jesus commanded. Mark 11, verse 24, "Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them." Especially if you're praying back to God the very promises of His Word. You know, you pray the prayers that are promised to you in the Bible. God is going to hear. And so we ought to pray with faith and boldness and trust in the Lord. Congregation, as you consider God's Word today, is it something that you do? Do you pray? Do you spend time with the Lord? That's a question that no one else can answer but you. Whether you go to church or not, your minister knows. Whether you have family prayers or not, your family knows. But whether you pray in private or not, that is something between you and the Lord. Do you pray sincerely from the heart to the Lord? Are your prayers sincere? What kind of things do you pray for? Do you pray generally or specifically for things? Are you just going through the motions? Or are you genuine? Are you sincere? Are you earnest? Are you seeking the Lord? Are you coming to Him, believing in Him, and trusting in Him? Well, prayer is not an optional activity for the more committed. It is a necessity for every believer because it acknowledges our total dependence on God. Not to pray is arrogance, because it is really saying, if we don't pray, what it's really saying is, God, I can handle this myself. And that's baloney. But the truth is, you can't handle anything by yourself apart from God's grace and power. And so at all times, we ought to pray and not lose heart. We have this access to this divine majesty because of our great mediator, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.